الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله إن الله سميع عليم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن من إجلال الله تعالى إكرام ذي الشيبة المسلم وحامل القرآن غير الغاني فيه ولا الجافع عن وإكرام ذي السلطان المقسط أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
وصفت العلماء الكرام Brothers and elders, in the zamana and time, the era that we are living in, and as time moves towards Qiyamah, everything is becoming more and more materialistic. And we also sometimes try to measure our worth in terms of material things. So a person sometimes tries to add value to himself, value in very big inverted commas, value to himself by means of material things. So somebody would think within himself that if I drive a certain kind of car, then that might increase my value, or I have a certain kind of house that might increase my value, or depending on the kind of phone that I can just pull out and answer in front of others in public, which might impress them, that might enhance my value. And in this way, all the other various trimmings and trappings that we have of material things. Whereas these are things that don't add any value to anybody. It is a ni'mat if it comes in a halal way, and it is something to be used and appreciated and made shukr for, but it doesn't add any value to anybody. Value comes from values. Values are things within a person. All these things are external. The external things, that day will come. That day will come when a person will be carried without all these external things. He'll be carried on others, on the shoulders of others, and he will be put down into the qabr. At that time, the reality of all these external things will become glaring. That if all these things had added value to him, then it would have come along with him. But none of these things will accompany him. But what will accompany him is what was inside him. And what is inside a person is values. Starting off right with the values of Iman, Islam, and all the various things that Deen has given us. And among that is the very, very great aspect of Akhlaq. The values of good character, honesty, trustworthiness, of humility. And among all these aspects of akhlaq is the very important aspect of adab, respect. And to the extent that we become more materialistic, then the values that should be in a person starts eroding. Because materialism also occupies a space inside a person. It's manifested outside. Values guide the behavior of a person. It's what's inside him that guides what he does outside. How he reacts to things, what he does, what he gives preference to. It's what's inside him. So now when that materialism takes that space inside, it will start moving other things out. Because there's only so much of space there. There's only one heart. There isn't two hearts. So now that one heart, if materialism has taken its space, then values start coming out because it's material values that have now come in. So values of akhlaq, of haya, of humility, and this aspect of adab, respect, this also starts leaving. And that kind of society that should be there, that ideal society, that exists on the foundation of values. That peace, that serenity, that mutual respect, where each one is concerned about the other, does that worry about his neighbor, for his fellow Muslim, wherever he might be. And a person is prepared to sacrifice his needs for the other. But when materialism comes in, then a person is not even prepared to care for the next person's needs if that's going to come in the way of his desires. His desires will take precedence over the needs of others also. So likewise, in order to live that kind of life now, that materialistic life, things had become a barrier in it. There's no space for that now. And among those things, adab, respect. Respect becomes a barrier. Because now a person has to respect the elders. Somebody, elder, has said something now to accept it. It might be his father, it might be his uncle. There was a zamana in time where the uncle and father, there was no difference in the respect that was accorded to them. Now even the father's respect is gone. The father is an equal. So when the extent of this materialism comes in, then all these values start eroding. And whereas in deen, there is so much of emphasis on these values and on adab, on respect, that deen actually, the protection of a person's deen is in adab. To the extent that there will be adab, together with many other things obviously, to that extent one's deen will be protected. And to the extent adab is lost, then one will be in great problems in dunya. And Allah forbid, Allah Ta'ala protect us and save us, akhirat is even more severe. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala teaches adab. In one ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala addressed the Sahaba primarily. They were the first recipients of this. And then by extension, everybody is given the same message. Allah Ta'ala addresses the Sahaba Ikram and says to them, that ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yadayillahi wa rasulihi wattaqullah. O you who believe, don't be forward. That you should wait your turn. If this is an adab that was being taught with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now saying something, then you should wait. Let him first complete what he is saying. Then when you have the opportunity to now ask something, to say something, then you may do so. Don't jump the gun. Don't be too hasty in this. This is the requirement of adab, that you must wait. لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Now this is a lesson that not to be preceding one's elders. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who could be greater than him? The whole makhluk of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on one side, and his maqam and position is far greater than all the creation of Allah ta'ala. But by extension, the same lesson is given for every senior and elder. And this is taught to us in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala an. He was walking slightly ahead of Siddiq Akbar, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed him. And he said to him, that are you walking in front of a person who is better than you? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's position and status in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was universally accepted among the Sahaba, that he has the highest rank among all the Sahaba. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is endorsing this in this particular hadith. He says to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, are you walking in front of a person that's more greater than you, that's better than you? And then he said, Inna Abu Bakrin khayrum mimman tal'at alayhi shams aw gharabat. That Abu Bakr, meaning in this entire ummah and all the ummahs besides the Ambiya alayhi salatu wasalam, he is the best person upon whom the sun has risen. There isn't a person better than him apart from the Ambiya alayhi salatu wasalam who the sun has ever risen on. So the lesson was being taught that look, you must maintain this seniority. Don't ignore it. Whereas Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu wasn't a Nabi of Allah ta'ala, but he's a Sahabi of such great rank. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu once saw two people together. So he asked one person about the other, who is this? So he said, this is my father. He said, very well, this is your father. So listen, don't ever call him by his name. La tusammihi bi ismi. Call him by a title of respect. Don't call him by his name. Don't walk in front of him. Don't sit before him. What is being taught? Simple etiquette. Simple basic respect. But these basic things go very far. It maintains respect in society. It maintains a system. And take this respect out of the system, take this respect out of society, and the whole system collapses. Then everything is free fall. And then father and son are equal. And the son will be sometimes louder than the father. And when respect goes, then there's nothing left of society. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala is teaching this respect. Two sahaba came once. Some incident took place. It's a lengthy incident. Now two brothers came along. Muhayyisa and Huwaisa radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. So the younger brother, he was present at the scene when the incident happened. So he started already explaining. He started already giving the incident that this is what happened. But as soon as he started saying something, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Kabbir, Kabbir. Look, let the elder person speak first. He's your brother. The father, the respect of the father has to be maintained. He's the elder, obviously. But even the brother, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, Kabbir, maintain this respect, maintain this seniority. He's the elder brother. You don't speak first, let him speak. When he spoke, and then he said, well, my brother was there on the scene, okay, now you may speak. Teaching us this lesson of respect, that this is such a basic, such a fundamental lesson. And outwardly this seems like one of those things, whereas this is not just one of those things, this is very deep. And in the simple acts of etiquette, or for example, not walking in front of one's father, not sitting before him. Now if that is maintained, is he going to be rude and abrupt to his father? He's going to talk anyhow? Even in the animal kingdom, there is some kind of respect in some way sometimes. You'll see how some animal is giving way for the other. But when insan loses respect, he goes below animals also. If Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا كَلَنْعَامْ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ. So in any case, this lesson of respect is being taught. That to respect, now even the senior brother, the elder brother. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, لَيْسَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي مَنْ لَمْ يُجِلَّ كَبِيرَنَا وَيَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيَعْرِفْ لِعَالِمِنَا حَقَّهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. That person is not among us. He's not part of my ummah. Meaning, he's gone far away. The one who does not respect his elders, his seniors. Whether that senior is his father, it is his uncle, it is his grandfather. Because what respect is for the father, the grandfather also. What respect is for the mother, the grandparents, the mother's parents also. He doesn't respect his elders. He doesn't have compassion and mercy for the younger ones. And he doesn't recognize the right and rank of the scholars of deen. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says he's not part of us. We are, so to say, cutting him off. So when somebody has been cut off by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is left? This respect. Respect for our elders, respect for the ulama-i kiram, respect for the people of deen, for those who are serving deen. It's a very fundamental lesson. In this ayat of the Quran Sharif that was discussed, where the sahaba were giving this lesson of respect, further Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. They don't raise your voice above the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was the command, that don't ever speak in a tone higher than his voice. After Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the same etiquette applies in the presence of his Mubarak resting place. Once Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, he was having his little, the Amir of the time, the Amirul Mu'mineen and the Khalifa of the time, Abu Ja'far Mansur, he started talking something to Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. And in talking to him, they were close by to the Mubarak resting place, to the Rosa Mubarak. And Abu Ja'far Mansur's voice started going a little higher. He started raising his voice. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi immediately stopped him. He's an imam of that caliber, that great position. And he said, look, this was something that was already, Allah Ta'ala had corrected the sahaba in this regard. Allah Ta'ala said to them, لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. Don't raise your voice. And Allah Ta'ala praised another group of sahaba. ان الذين يغضون اصواتهم عند رسول الله اولئك الذين امتحن الله قلوبهم للتقوى. Those who used to talk in soft tones in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah ta'ala praise them. These are the people with taqwa in their hearts. And he said this is the same etiquette that applies now also. After Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left this dunya, that etiquette that applied in his lifetime applies now as well. Now one is, in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his lifetime, the sahaba to adopt that etiquette. Then, in the presence of the Mubarak Rauza of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that same etiquette will be applied. Not to raise the voice in front of his Mubarak resting place. Then that same etiquette applies to his teachings also. Somebody is reading some hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a talk of deen. The words of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam are being spoken about. That talim is taking place. What is a talim all about? It's the fazail kitab which is filled with all the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It requires that same respect. These are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now somebody is sitting and doing his own thing. Somebody is fiddling with his phone. Somebody is talking some other things. This is against the etiquette and the respect for the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That respect which pertained to his Mubarak Zat, to his physical self, that respect pertains to his Mubarak words also. That kind of respect must be shown. And in this ayat is a very, very severe warning. Allah Ta'ala says that beware, don't ever do this. Don't show this disrespect. Why? What will happen? أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. That it must not be this, that as a result of your disrespect, everything you've done becomes nullified. أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. All your a'mal become nullified and you don't even realize what happened. And the Mufassirin explain, أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. A'mal is general, it includes every amal. Iman is also an amal, it's the greatest amal. The warning here is that the fear is that even your iman could go. How can this act of disrespect, and how will a person's iman go? And this is that lesson, obviously disrespect of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, disrespect to his Mubarak words, disrespect to his teachings, disrespect to his way of life. All this is a very serious matter. Extremely serious. But disrespect in any level is also bad and also harmful. So in that context, this is to be understood. Especially disrespect of anything to do with deen. And disrespect of that which Allah Ta'ala has commanded us to show respect to. وَمَنْ يُعَزِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. Respect to the symbols of deen. The masjid, the house of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The day of Jumu'ah. Many a person, the day of Jumu'ah comes and there are some other things all lined up already. Friday night. So Friday night is a free night. So now all the day of Jumu'ah he's planning is Friday night. What kind of free night? Free to na'uzu billah kumud sin. So now his Jumu'ah is gone in planning sin. One is the sin itself. What a terrible disregard for this great day of Jumu'ah. But as Allah Ta'ala says, those who respect the symbols of deen, this is a sign of iman. فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. So anything that Allah Ta'ala has commanded to show respect to one's parents, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't even say أُفْ to them. Allah Ta'ala is commanding this respect for parents. The respect for those who are senior in deen. Like in this hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ لِعَالِمِنَا حَقَّهُ. He doesn't recognize the rank and the position of the scholars of deen. Disrespect in any of these things becomes extremely dangerous. Now in this ayat Allah Ta'ala says, أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. It might nullify all your amal. How? So the Mufassirin explain how this happens. That disrespect becomes a blockage. A blockage in what? It becomes a blockage in the tawfiq of good deeds. So now first a person, mashallah, was very, very punctual even with his tahajjud. He was making tilawat of the Quran Sharif every day. 2 paras, 3 paras he was reciting. He was making his zikr, tasbihat. Now the first blockage comes, the tawfiq goes away. Now his tahajjud went. Then other nawafil went. And then slowly, if he didn't now make amends, didn't go and rectify the situation, didn't go and seek forgiveness, didn't go and sort out that matter of disrespect and bring it back onto respect, That blockage now, like a heart blockage in the artery, first it's a little small blockage, and then might be a small angina attack, and if that is not sorted out, then it suddenly becomes a full-blown heart attack. So now this blockage increases, then the sunnats start going. And then the blockage increases further. First the person's salah with jama'ah goes. Now he's making it home, he's feeling fine about it. And then it slowly starts becoming qaza. He says, I was too busy, I'll make it later. And then Allah forbid, then he misses that salah and doesn't think anything about it also. Now, this is a stepping stone. Al-ma'asi baridul kufr. That sins become the stepping stone towards kufr someday. Allah forbid. Unless the person starts making amends, then someday he does such a thing that his iman goes away also. He doesn't realize he made uttered a statement of kufr. He did something else which nullified his iman. And he's carrying on like life is all fine, nothing happened. Wa antum la tash'urun. Allah Ta'ala says, you won't even realize what happened. Now this is how this becomes a stepping stone towards kufr. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in one step. But if the person continues in that reckless manner, where it started off from disrespect. أَنْتَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. And this is a very, very delicate thing. Very delicate. We will find these things will happen. There might be sometimes differences of opinion, differences of views, even among the ulama, among the scholars of high rank. But now we all become judges. And in becoming judges, I will decide, okay, this is right. So if this is right, then that is wrong. So now the next step is, then I start criticizing, start ridiculing, start mocking somebody, running somebody down. That person could very well have been on error. Yes, he could have made an error. That error is between him and Allah Ta'ala. But my criticizing, my ridiculing, my mocking, my making a fun of things, that is Allah forbid going to create a serious blockage here. That person is between him and Allah Ta'ala. But where I might fall, Allah save me. Now, outwardly is just something I said, went out in the air, just spoken and forgotten about. But these things become blockages, like that blockage happening in that artery. Person doesn't realize it immediately, what's happening. And that artery is narrowing. And then suddenly there's a full-blown heart attack. Now then he goes for some kind of angiogram and this and that. And now they say that artery is completely clogged. And now you require not one, you require a quadruple bypass. And Allah forbid, sometimes it's so fatal, it's so serious it becomes fatal. There's no chance of any bypass, it's gone. It started off from that point of disrespect. That reckless statement was made. We are obliged to follow one person who we have confidence in. Allah Ta'ala has obliged us. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Not to take chances on our own. Who we have confidence in, then we take the direction from one personality who we have the confidence in, who has that experience, who has the taqwa, who is well grounded in his knowledge, then that is what we are responsible for. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will ask us if we did this. This much we did. Allah Ta'ala is not going to ask us whether we pass judgment between people. Passing judgment is Allah Ta'ala's job. Our job is to find out, to inquire, to make the effort to inquire correctly from those who we, in our heart of heart, in the light of experience, believe to be a knowledgeable person who is giving us the right advice, who has that experience. That's what we're responsible for. Beyond that, we're not going to be asked on the day of Qiyamah, why didn't you go and find out who's right and wrong? But what we are required to do, we are required to maintain respect of deen, the people of deen, the symbols of deen, all the things that are related to deen, and in general this lesson of respect. And in so many things, as we just mentioned a few, there are so many things where this respect, compromising in this respect becomes a major difficulty for us in dunya and akhirat. Just the take of the aspect of the masjid itself. Unfortunately, the respect of the masjid, respect of the Quran Sharif, all this is highly compromised. This is a very, very light way of saying it. Highly compromised. Allah forbid, is almost like gone. In so many instances. In the masjid, person has got his phone on, what not he's reading, Allah forbid, what not he's watching. Sometimes during the Jummah khutbah, these are things which have been brought to the attention of many ulama. that while the Jummah khutbah is on, not just the talk, the khutbah, while the khutbah is on, somebody is watching something, some filth and haram, right in the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi quotes this hadith in his Kitab Adabul Masajid, that when a person starts talking worldly talk in the masjid, he starts talking worldly talk, such talk which is permissible outside the masjid, not which is haram in itself, but it is worldly talk, it's not dini talk. And he starts talking worldly talk, permissible outside the masjid. But now inside the masjid, when he commences with this, an angel addresses him. Uskut ya wali Allah. O friend of Allah, keep quiet. Now, we won't hear it, because if we start hearing the angels, then we'll become angels also. The test of dunya will be gone. So that angel addresses him. Uskut ya wali Allah. O friend of Allah, keep quiet. You are in the house of Allah Ta'ala. Respect the house of Allah Ta'ala. But this person doesn't take heed, he continues. Then the second time round, the angel addresses him. Uskut ya wali Allah. O friend of Allah, keep quiet. But this person continues. The third time that angel addresses him, Uskut la'anatullahi alayk. Keep quiet. May the curse of Allah be upon you. Now the person came in the house of Allah Ta'ala. He came and spent time in the house of Allah Ta'ala. He came to take the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. But because of the lack of adab and respect for the masjid, he soiled and polluted the masjid with worldly talk. This pollution of the masjid with worldly talk is so serious and severe that now he's leaving the house of Allah Ta'ala with the lanat of Allah Ta'ala. Now the person is bewildered, but why? Nothing seems to be coming right in my life. Everything is always going haywire. We need to look at many things. We need to do a full diagnosis. And many a times you'll find in the diagnosis, the aspect of disrespect will come up. If we do the test correctly, and we do the diagnosis correctly, then we'll find in many cases, disrespect for parents, disrespect for grandparents, disrespect for seniors of deen, disrespect for the masjid, disrespect for the azan, disrespect for the Quran Sharif, disrespect for so many things. And these start becoming blockages. They become blockages in deen, the tawfiq of deen goes away. They become blockages in dunya also. A person's rizq starts becoming affected. When a person disrespects the commands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, disrespects the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is he going to invite about himself? So this is a very, very important lesson in deen, very fundamental lesson, the lesson of adab. Ba adab ba nasib, be adab be nasib. This is a very, very well known little saying in Urdu. Ba adab, the person who has respect in his life, he maintains adab in everything. Ba nasib, such a person, he will be very, very fortunate. He will gain a lot. He will progress tremendously. And the worst person without adab, without respect, be nasib, he'll be deprived. He'll be deprived of deen, he'll get deprived of dunya also. This is the very important aspect for us to now bring into our lives, bring into our children's lives. Unfortunately, sometimes how we conduct ourselves, that is a lesson we leave behind for the children. That ustad just reprimanded the child, the parent is there to fight with the ustad. That who asked you to talk to my child like this? So what is the lesson for the child? It might be the ustad, it might be some teacher. What is the lesson for the child? You must stand up to authority. Don't worry, nobody can tell you anything. So tomorrow in life, he carries on like that. The parent has already taught him how to create the blockages. Then when he suffers a heart attack sometimes, and the parent becomes the first victim of it. Now the parent is saying, but how? Why is he behaving like this? We taught him how to behave like that. So we need to bring this adab in our lives, inculcate this adab for our children, in their children, inculcate the adab of the Quran Sharif in their lives, the adab for the azan, adab for salah, adab for the masjid, adab for everything to do with deen, and adab for people around us. In this way, we will inshallah get the rahmat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in our lives, and we will enjoy that in dunya, we'll have the blessings of that in the akhirat as well. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq, wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.